This is a Mother's Day sermon. This is Sappy Sunday. This is the day I get to be syrupy, sugary, sweet. And I ain't ashamed for it. I am preaching without an apology and an appreciation for that time-honored institution. Without the benefit, none of us would be here. Not a single solitary one. Every Mother's Day sermon I always run across starts with an explanation. Sometimes even an apology. This one's no exception. You know, as ministers, we're reminded of the following. Not to get too sentimental about motherhood, because for some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood ain't possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses and a primrose path. If I can take some liberty with poet Wilhelm Busch's words, and I'm not even trying the German, he said, to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all those qualifications, why bother with Mother's Day at all? I'll tell you why. Because for all its stumbling blocks, pitfalls, broken dreams, for all the soiled diapers, for the soiled wallpaper, spoiled plans, we're talking about a beautiful ideal, a natural part of God's created plan to bring love and caring to light. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. Quite frankly, every woman who has taken that moment to care for someone else is mother. And so with that being said, here we go. Got your tissues? Good. I recently got sent to me an article by Douglas Phillips, and he's a great writer. He's into the homeschooling and reconnecting the families together. And he wrote these words about the downgrade of motherhood. He started this off by saying, only a woman can carry in her body an eternal being which bears the very image of God. That ought to be on a plaque somewhere. Let me read it again. Only a woman can carry in her body an eternal being which bears the very image of God. Only she is the recipient of the miracle of life. Only a woman can conceive and nurture this life using her own flesh and her own blood, and then deliver a living soul into the world. God has bestowed upon her a genuine miracle. And yes, it is. The creation of life and the fusing of eternal soul with mortal flesh. This fact alone establishes the glory of motherhood. Despite the most creative plans of humanistic scientists and lawmakers to redefine the sexes, no man will ever conceive and give birth to a child. The fruitful womb is a holy gift given by God to women alone. This is one reason why the office of wife and mother is the highest calling to which a woman can aspire. Open your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, we read the following words, starting at the 10th verse. King Solomon writing in bountiful wisdom. And these are words that apply to the office of motherhood. You who are mama. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Slip it on down there now. To verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. May God add His blessings to this passage as we seek His message and His instruction on Mother's Day. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, open our hearts, our minds, that we may understand, that we may sit with smiles on our face of any Sunday today as we think about Your greatest institution, the Mother. Thank You, Father. Help us to be strengthened as we go from here today. And remember, she is blessed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I often get accused of being old-fashioned. I had a professor write me up here recently as, Paul is traditional to the point of being fundamental. And he was trying to be mean, and I took that as a compliment. I said, thank you. We are missing it out, folks. There have been a lot of women in my life, and I don't mean that in the way that it sounded. There are still a lot of women in my life. I am the kind of fella that if there ain't women around me to keep me on the straight and narrow, I am going to get in big trouble and in a hurry like. Because I have no sense. I mean it. She's sitting over there shaking her head. She'll tell you. Ask her about watching me mow the grass. She won't even look out the window anymore. I'll jump off the mower while it's moving forward to get stuff out of the way and jump back on it. The office of motherhood as ordained by God, as given. I have women that I look toward in my life as my mother. As women who have taken care to see me learn and to be guided. Our sermon title is called A Single Tear, and some people may wonder why. I'll tell you why. Because in my world, from a woman's face, a single tear galvanizes a man into action. There's a comedian out there, Jeff Foxworthy. I know some of y'all know him. He described himself one time this way. He said, I'm married. I have two or three daughters. I live next door to my brother. He's married. He has two or three daughters. My wife's mother lives just down the road from us. And my mother lives just on the other side of the road with us. I swim and live in an estrogen ocean. He said, in my house, when someone is crying, you don't care why. You just want to go find it and stop it. From a single tear. We think about motherhood, and we think about this day, and there's people that all, it was just created by the greeting card companies, and it was all about just another way to sell cards and candy and flowers. No, it really wasn't. Some of them I would agree with you. But we honor mothers today because God made them. He took a woman and He formed her. And He said, from you will come life. From a single tear, at that moment when you know that you became a mom. And there are plenty of women in this country today that may not have had the moment of biological motherhood, but they have taken the time to raise up a child. And they still shed that single tear. Whether it be in joy, whether it be in happiness, I know that my grandmother, my daddy's mama, was one of the toughest old birds you would ever want to meet in your life. She was hard. She was wonderful to her grandchildren. But she was tough. The story tells me that after my aunts and uncles had been born, one of them become pregnant outside of the situation. And my grandfather, who thought that he ran the house, was going to throw her out. And my nanny walked out the door with her bags packed. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "That's my daughter. You're her father. She goes, I go, and you can figure the rest of this out." My pappy got an attitude change like that. One single tear. It is the woman who keeps things under control. Yes, the man is the head of the household. And yes, he has duties to do. And yes, he is to lead. And yes, he is to suffer the slings and arrows of the world, because his job is to protect it. But through the front door of that house, it is mama's job. Everything else. I tell a story, a joke, and I probably told it here, and you're about to hear it again. And I tell this at every single wedding I've ever done. If I get asked to do the blessing at the meal, I always preface it with this joke. At a large church, they were going to have a men's night, newlywed men's night. And they brought all the new men that had been married in the past year into the basement, serve them a great banquet. And they paired them up with a man that had been married 10, 20, 30, 40. And they had one man that had been married for 2 weeks sitting across the table from a man who had been married for 60 years. And they talked. And the young feller said to the man, he said, "How? 60 years. He said, "Well, that's easy. He said, "On the night of our wedding, me and my wife got together and I laid down the law. He said, "I told her in this relationship, I will make all the big decisions in this." He said, "And you will take care of all the little ones." He looked at that boy and he said, "I am happy to report in 60 plus years, we ain't never made a big decision." I'll let that one sink in. Motherhood. Years and years ago, my daddy read this story in church, and I had to search and search and search to find it. It was written by a fellow named John Gilbert. They called him Gibby. He was a radio announcer up in Canada. And I'm talking, when I think of the last time I heard this, I wasn't much older than my boy, probably younger than them yet. The story goes, a little boy came up to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper. And he handed her a piece of paper he had been writing on, and after his mom had dried her hands on her apron, she read it, and this is what it said: "For cutting the grass, $5. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. For babysitting my kid brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning and raking up the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. His mother looked at him standing there. And the boy could see the memories flashing through her mind. She sat down at the table, picked up a pen, turned the paper over, written on it, and this is what she wrote. "Got your tissues ready? For the 9 months I carried you while you grew inside me, no charge. For the nights I've sat up with you, doctored, and prayed for you, no charge. For all the times, all the trying times, all the tears that you have caused me these years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, and even wiping your nose, no charge. When you add it all up, son, the cost of my love is no charge." When the boy finished reading what his mother had written, There were big tears in his eyes, and he looked up at his mother and he said, "Mama, I sure do love you." And then he took the pen and in great big letters wrote, "Paid in full." That's motherhood. I had somebody sit there and tell me, "Paul, what do you make an hour?" And I explained it to him. And I was listening to Christian radio here not too long ago, and I heard, if you had to take a person today and pay them to do what your wife or a mother does, they would make triple what you make a year, and yet us men come home and bust through the door and go, "I had a hard day." Now, I know what my wife does. She gets up in the morning, about 9 o'clock. She wanders downstairs, and the kids have already cooked their own food. They've washed the dishes and started cleaning the house. She puts on her fuzzy bunny bedroom slippers and goes in and flops down on the couch with a good book. Sometime about 12 o'clock, she might actually decide to get dressed. When I call her at 1 o'clock, she's like, "You're interrupting me. I'm busy." I'm sure she's reading another book or some soap opera's on. And then when I come home at 5 o'clock expecting dinner to be on the stove, she tells me, "Oh, I was just too busy today." That is the dumbest lie that a man could ever say. I know that I am here as a result of. I know that the boys are here as a result of. I know that many of you in the audience are here as a result of a mother who loved you. Linda couldn't have said it any better this morning when she said if they didn't, they'd let you do whatever you wanted. I can tell you right now, my mother really loved me. Because I never got to do anything. Solomon writes these words because God gave him great brilliance to understand that. I love verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. You go and get to the grocery store and you stand in line. There are some smart people that run grocery stores. And by the way, we're supposed to be in Frederick at 1 o'clock. For Cracker Barrel lunch. So I was going to try to make this a 5-minute sermon, but I know that ain't happening. But you look at the magazine rack. See, I'm not allowed to go to the grocery store by myself. I just have to take a kid with me and a list. And then I have to call every so often. Because if I'm alone in the grocery store, it ain't no telling what we're coming home with. And as you stand there, you read it. Oh, look at this star without her makeup on. And look at this star and what she has to go through to keep nannies in her house to care after her babies. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, says Solomon. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Amen. And why do we know that women take up that role? I love the book of Ruth. That is one of the most beautiful stories. I bawl like a baby when I read that story. Y'all know how the story works. Ruth wound up with her mother-in-law who became her mama. We know that Boaz walked into the field and wondered why that. And you know, you can almost read that story between the lines, can't you? Here comes Boaz into the field, proud, prosperous, single man, a lot of land, walking in there, looking over everything, and they're thrashing, they're gleaning the grain, they're cutting stalks, and he's out there looking, and he's like, "Yeah, that... Hey, foreman, come here a minute. Where'd that girl come from?" The foreman replied, Ruth chapter 2, "She is the Moabitess. We came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. You can follow along with the girls. I have told men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed her face down to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Listen to what Boaz says. You want to know the value of motherhood? Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." He recognized the value of motherhood. Not biological motherhood, motherhood. There's mothers to me in this church. There's Eloise that sits back here. Every now and then she brings me little cookies and such. There's Peggy. She's always I have to be careful because, you know, it's going to hurt my finger. Peggy back here always feeding me. And Linda always bringing me little stuff. And my Jiminy Cricket conscience up there in the corner. Martha always making sure I stay on the straight and narrow. And the women that come out there and they love and they squeeze my little cheeks. Not so little. And they tell me how wonderful I did and keep up the good work and they love on me. That is motherhood and that is ordained by God. And that is what we celebrate here today. Amen. Got your cashews? I don't know when it was written. I don't remember the song. I've heard it before. But Jimmy Dean, oh, I see some faces lighting up, did a little song. Well, it wasn't a song because he spoke it. And I have never done this here, but I'm going to do it. And I'm looking for tears because Jimmy Dean talks about mothers. He says, you know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom, past the credit cards and the baby pictures and the green stamps, you can usually find an old dog-eared piece of poetry of some kind. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I ran a whole bunch of IOUs, and some of them was 30 years overdue. And the funny thing is that all of these IOUs are owed to one person. And I just kind of thought maybe now might be a good time for an accountant. Hey, Mama, are you listening? Mom, I owe you for so many things. A lot of different services, like night watchmen, for instance. Laying awake nights listening for coughs, cries, and creaking floorboards. And me coming in too late. Oh, you had the eye of an eagle, the roar of a lion. But you always had a heart as big as a house. I owe you for services such as short order cook, chief baker, making sirloin out of hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and a big old strapping boy out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of face and ears, all work done by hand, and for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to make sure that he led a spotless life, and for washing and ironing that no laundry could ever do, for drying the tears of childhood, and for ironing out the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as a bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares and maybe just a few too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever. And let's not forget medical advice either. Oh no, important things like, if you don't quit scratching that, it ain't never going to get well. And if you cross your eyes again, they're going to stick like that. And probably the most important was, boy, be sure you've got on clean underwear in case you're ever in an accident. And I owe you for veterinarian services, for feeding every lost dog that I dragged home at the end of the rope, and for healing the pains of puppy love. I owe you for entertainment. Entertainment that kept the household going through some pretty tough times. For wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, birthdays, and for somehow making me believe, make believe come true on a very limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites, and confidence, and hopes, and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky. And for cementing together a family so that it could stand the worst kind of shocks and blows, and for laying down that good, strong foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges. For carrying me on your books for the necessities of life, things that a growing boy ought to have, things like a pair of high-top boots with a little pocket in the side for a jackknife. And one thing, Mom, I will never forget when there were only two pieces of apple pie and three hungry people. And I noticed how you were always the one that was decidedly not hungry anymore. There are a few things of which payment is long overdue. The person I owe worked very, very cheap. She managed simply by doing a whole lot of for things without herself getting much. My IOUs owe up to much more than I could ever hope to repay. But you know that the nicest thing about it all is that she'll mark the whole bill paid in full for just one kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you. From a single tear, we share the joy of motherhood. And we see it grow and we see it become as God Himself intended it, and from Jesus she was born. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I don't really reckon there's too many words that we can use to thank you for Mom, for whoever she was. Maybe she was somebody in that first job that mothered after you. Maybe she was the neighbor down the street that knew you needed taken care of, and so she did it. Maybe she was that woman at the store where you always stopped to get your vittles, and when she saw you coming in, knew that you were a single person living and made sure you got a good meal. And she was also the woman that gave birth to you and loved you and is the reason that so many of us sit here today thanking God for an institution which no world, no politician, no silliness could ever redefine. The institution of motherhood and the job of keeping the house and that foundation. Thank you, Father, for that precious gift. Through Jesus Christ we all pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. As we prepare to sing the last hymn, open my eyes that I may see, number 563. If you have a particular need, I ask that you would come forward. We stand up and ready for prayer. And to all the mothers that I see before me, beside me, thanks, Mom. I love you.
Please stand and turn to page 563.
Thank you.
And now to each and every one of you, the blessings of motherhood and the effects thereof. May you celebrate them with those you love today warmly. May your feet be made ready to walk in the weeks to come and the time to come. May the blessings of heaven fall down upon you. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and evermore. Amen.